Okay, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Minenhle Matela. I'm from the Center for Student Health and Wellness, and today we'll be talking about mental health and spirituality. I've got some experts on my panel here with me. I have Umzamo Ntantiso, who is a psychologist at the UJ PsyCAD department. Surely you're familiar with the department. He's currently training as a Divina and Umhlekazi. I've also got Usizwe Zulu, who is a student at the institution at UJ, and he is studying development studies, and he is currently doing his first year. He is also currently training as a traditional healer, aka Isangom. Surely we are all familiar with Isangom. And I've also got Uthabiso Mate, who is a nurse and a lecturer at the Gauteng Nursing College. She's currently practicing as a student counselor, and she is a student herself. She's currently pursuing her PhD in nursing education at the University of Johannesburg. Welcome to all of you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Sisi.
So we will be talking about mental health and spirituality. I think it's quite a loaded topic. There's quite a bit that we can unpack from it. So what I'd like to ask is each of you, starting with Umzamo, and then Usizwe, and then Uthabiso, to please just take us through some of your experiences, your perceptions around mental health and spirituality. And if you could just break down these two topics, perhaps give us a definition of what mental health is according to you, and then give us a definition of what spirituality is, and how do the two meet?
Hello, everyone. In my humble opinion, mental health is to do with one of the dimensions of a human being, because human beings are multidimensional. There are various aspects of our being financial self, academic, occupational self, psychological self, emotional self, spiritual self, and all of these other dimensions. There are many of them. So mental health being one of the most important, because a balanced mental health status is what drives motivation, what drives a person's goals, personality, functionality, so that you can function across the spectrum of your being. So psychology being one of the components or the driving vehicles behind mental health, how we intervene when there are mental health related problems or issues. Psychology is not that old as a science. It is as young as early 1900s, but other people do backdate it to late 1800s in terms of the pioneers of psychology. The reason why I'm mentioning this is because at the beginning, there wasn't a neglect of the soul or the spirit as mental health was understood by the pioneers of psychology. Even the word itself, psychology, psych, is a Greek word meaning spirit or a soul. And logi or logos means the language. So if one will define psychology as the language of the spirit. And early pioneers did concern themselves with the question of the unconscious, the spirit, the soul, as a driving force behind mental functions. But over the years, because psychology then got obsessed with the objective science, meaning the measurable traits, things that are observable, that are material. And I think with that pursuit, they lost the essence of actually dealing with the holistic dimensions of a human being, which is regrettable. So here we are now in the current times, battling with the question of spirit, the soul, the psyche, and how it relates to mental health. This is an old question that should never have been left unattended over the decades where psychology existed. So this is not a new topic. It's just that Africa is a rich continent whereby umoya or the spirit manifests in mental-related conditions and health. So we find ourselves now battling with the question of mental health versus spirituality. These things should never have been separated to begin with. Because you can have umoya or be troubled by idlozi and still having mental related health problems like anxiety, depression, bipolar, schizophrenic like traits. So to break it down, in my opinion, is to reintegrate the two, because these two should never have been separated from the start. So spirituality is one of our dimensions. It's the driving force behind who we are. And there are people who believe like we are having a human experience, but in essence, we are spirits. We are part of the greater spirit from Unkulunkulu, God. And then we are born into this dimension or the physical plane as human beings to learn, to experience, or to purify the spirit so that we go back to the source. So when you're studying human behavior, you are also studying a human spirituality, in my view. Mm-hmm. So when you are battling with questions of why people are suffering, why people have problems, you are also, in essence, asking a question of how well is your spirit, or how balanced you are spiritually, because the spirit is going to manifest in social, psychological, medical problems. That's why sometimes when you have ubizo, sometimes if you don't know or you don't understand how your people communicate, you're going to encounter medical problems that medical doctors can't explain. You're going to encounter psychological distress, anxiety attacks, panic attacks, depression, social withdrawal, isolation, high irritability, bipolar-like mood disorders where your emotions fluctuate. Mm. And then a psychologist will diagnose and say, oh, this one is bipolar, right? And they might be right because you're exhibiting these symptoms. But now, as a responsible psychologist or a person that is trying to understand a human being, you should never neglect the question of, what about the spirit? What if these emotional states are influenced by someone who wants to seek expression? I think I said too much. So in my introduction, in breaking this question, is it should never have been left alone, unattended. And currently, I believe it's about time that we are mindful of the fact that when we are receiving patients, we are not receiving a physical entity. We are receiving someone who's working with other people. Umuntu wembethwe by their people. They are not alone in that room. And you need to respectfully ask some questions. Not necessarily because one is an ancestral calling. Even if you believe in Christianity, you know, you're working with angels when you come in into a space which are accountable for your life and, you know, your well-being. So you neglect someone's spirituality at your own peril of that individual. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for that in-depth explanation. One of the key takeaways from that is that psychology is a language of the spirit and it should never have been separated anyway. Right?
Yes.
As in mental health aspects should never have been separated from the spiritual because ultimately it is one body, one mind. Wow. Thank you for that. Sizwe?
In my response, I'd like to say that the mind and the soul are intertwined. So when one loses the balance between the two, it raises the higher chances of one facing challenges either in the mental side or the spiritual side. So we need to gather ourselves to find where has the problem begun. If we have not started by seeing, if you started having mental health, if we can trace, because some sicknesses are born within families. So we need to find the soul that comes with these sicknesses in order to heal the mental side. So in each and every problem, we need to start finding from the soul, because we live by the soul as per religion. The religion we serve says the soul was given unto us. So the mind is a human nature. But then we need to connect with the soul so we can find the higher self within us.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make an example with the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So the ocean has waves.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that the ocean is just water. And the river is also water.
Mm-hmm.
So the two are not the same. The river and the ocean are not the same. The river does not have waves, but the ocean have waves. So your mind may be the river and the soul be the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But then the main thing within these two entities is the water.
Mm-hmm.
The connection between the soul and the mental health has to be there and found.
Mm-hmm.
That is my say.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that's very insightful, because even though you're mentioning the aspects of water, water also has life, meaning even with the waves and the relation to the person itself, it actually makes so much sense with that correlation that you just made. So, sure, thank you for that introduction. I look forward to hearing more about this.
Interesting.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yes. Tabiso?
Oh, thank you very much, Minentle. I'm looking at the concept of mental health.
Mm.
And in my approach, I would say that it is the balance that we seek as mental health practitioners, the balance in all the aspects of a human being.
Mm.
Like if you could look when you approach a mental health care facility, they are more interested in all the aspects of you, like when you were born,
mm.
how were you born?
Mm.
And we look at what's your religion, what is your belief system saying about the wellness, your mental wellness.
Mm.
And we look at the emotional being of you, how do you feel about where you are at with your life,
mm.
and the spiritual being,
mm-hmm.
which is all the aspects of a human being. So I would say that mental health is looking at creating a balance or ensuring that there is a balance between all the aspects of a human being.
Mm, mm. Thank you. I think based on those introductions, we are definitely set up for an interesting conversation. So one of the things that I would like to maybe pose to especially Usizwe Nomzamo, but I think you can also touch on this, Thabiso, as well. Where do we then differentiate? You know, you rightly pointed out that at the end of the day, mental health, spiritual health are intertwined. They are one. I think the theme around the table is that, yes, there should be a balance. When there's an imbalance, that's when we then start to see challenges on either side. So how do you then differentiate between a mental health issue and a spiritual calling? Right? Surely in your experiences as counselors, Umzamo and Thabiso, you've seen patients or clients coming in and presenting with a particular problem. Perhaps on the Western side of things, with the counseling and the psychology, it's diagnosed according to the criteria in, for example, the DSM-5, right? And then how do we then differentiate between that being just a psychological issue, a mental health challenge, and a spiritual calling? I'd really love to hear your thoughts on that. I'll start with Umzam.
You know, I always have an answer for this question. But for some reason today, I just, I have to think hard about what you are asking,
mm.
so that I don't take things for granted,
mm-hmm.
Because of the responsibility we have as psychologists, not mm-hmm. to misinform people who might be listening, who might be going through psychological,
yes,
related challenges, and assume every psychological challenge has its roots or means one is going through a spiritual calling.
Mm.
And I agree with Umakeba, Mfowara Zulu, that there's a connection between these two things.
Yeah.
We can't separate them. You know, the splitting is really a Western way of reducing things into small parts and particles.
Mm.
You know, it's a physics concept that you split the atom and then you identify different parts.
Mm.
But in our own African cosmology, it's one thing. You know, there's a connectivity.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm mentioning this is because when a client comes in with a psychological problem, yes, we follow a particular way of asking questions, like the interview.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as my colleague rightly pointed out, sometimes you look into how were you born? There were any birth complications? Well, these things have implications in terms of your mental health. Mm. Your developmental milestones, where they were reached, where they reached on time. Your socialization, your environment, your experiences, how you interacted with your environment, your upbringing, nurturing from parents, and all of these things might land you into a psychologist door being sick because of these things were not perfect. But now, how do you know if one is going through a spiritual awakening or has a calling versus just a mere psychological disorder? This is a territory of diviners sometimes, because for a person to know, sometimes you are advised to go to your shola.
Yeah.
You know, someone ahlahlube abhule. Afuna umhlolo ukuthi kwenze njani. You know, sometimes these people buy a kanyiselwa, you know, they get revelations before you even get there. Ukuthi lo muntu uzayo ngumuntu owembethe okanye umuntu owembethwe unabadala unobizo. And a diviner will throw bones if one is a nguni sangoma or umthandazeli, usebenzisa isithunywa, will use his bani, you know, to get to umhlola. What is the problem? And you might be enlightened ukuthi kahle kahle wena unobizo. Ne? It doesn't mean the person does not have psychological problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because life will give you problems, and those problems might result into anxiety. So one might have a diagnosable anxiety disorder, depression, and still have ubizo as another thing, or as the main thing that this person is going through. So one can have both. Uyakula, ngomoya, but at the same time you are depressed, because umoya is bringing you into a lot of, you know, different challenges.
Yeah.
The question of how do I differentiate in a session, if you are coming with a purely bipolar mood disorder,
mm-hmm.
or an anxiety condition, or unobizo. I'm not an expert. I happen to walk the path because of my own calling. So there are certain things, sometimes I can't explain them, that I'll be sitting across a client, you describing your symptoms. And rightly so, according to the DSM-5, you are complying or you are meeting the criteria for an anxiety disorder. But then there's a voice. And you can imagine, as a psychologist, you might dismiss this as being delusional. But someone akhoxe, akutshele, and tell you that this person in front of you does not know, but they have a calling. And you need to ask about uma wakhe or their lineage. So sometimes you have to go into this person's umlando, the family tree, and ask questions in relation to who they are. Sometimes it could be an issue of isibongo. Maybe there's ubango, maybe there's a claim. These issues will come up if you are a person onobizo. You know, you don't pull them somewhere in space. Your people are with you. They are listening to your conversations. They are advising what questions to ask. At least I have had those experiences in a therapy room, whereby I will be told, this is the issue of ubango, this is the issue of umsamo, omoshakele, or this is the issue of a calling. Then I will advise accordingly. It's not an easy thing to do. Because also, some people believe in different things, different belief systems and different religions. And as a psychologist, you want to be responsible. You don't want to impose your values and say no when you have a calling whereby this person doesn't want to entertain that, you know? So it does bring ethical conflicts. But as just as a psychologist, I will just diagnose such stuff as a psychological disorder. But I'm in an unfortunate position whereby I get revelations of certain things that a client might not be aware or aware, and I'll have to communicate that. So that's how normally I come to conclusions. I listen to umoya, ukuthi uthini, and then I will express that feeling or message in a form of a question. Ukuthi, are you aware of this? Tell me more about your dreams. Tell me more about these symptoms. I feel like your ears sometimes is your valeg. And sometimes you get sick before the client comes into that door. Maybe lomdo petually can't. Ne? And then you'll experience a headache and you don't know where this headache comes from. Or isisu. And then the client tells you, good, yes, I have a headache. And then you know, good, all but don't say umoya or isimo salomuntu before they arrive to your office. And then you have to address that. So sometimes a way of diagnosing is umdu umoya, you feel the symptoms. If this person is depressed or is experiencing a deep sadness, you might feel depressed and sad before you see this client and you don't know what the hell is going on. And then the person comes in and expresses exactly the feelings you were experiencing before they came through that door. So sometimes that's how you know, before you throw bones or kanyisi's ban. Maybe Makeba will explain it. I don't know how it happens, but your people will tell you. And sometimes they will make you feel the sickness your client is experiencing. And sometimes that's the way you know what is presenting. And sometimes that's how you know, ukuthi, this is ubizo. This is something that is to do with the sindu. This is just a purely psychological issue. And this person needs to stop stressing. They will tell you, you know. There's no right way to answer this question, unfortunately, but
no,
from my
absolutely.
Own experiences.
Yeah, I think you've shared some valuable insights because, again, it starts to raise more questions now as you are speaking that, okay, how do we then differentiate between that and an actual illness or ailment, stomach ache that the person is feeling and now it affects you, right? The West would say, no, maybe you ate something and you are just presenting with similar symptoms. But there's a spiritual explanation that you just gave to us that for the most part we had no idea about, right? So I think that's very valuable. And sure, I have follow-up questions because you mentioned something about the birthing process that one goes through and how that affects them perhaps later on in life with their own mental health challenges that they might experience. I want to get into that, but I think before we go there, we can actually pose the same question to our other panelists and then we'll circle back to diving deeper into these aspects. So maybe if I can start with Uthabiso, can you tell us about some of your perceptions around that?
Regarding my experience, you know, in the counseling room with issues of spirituality and counseling.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just reflecting on some of the experiences that I've had at the campus where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
A student would be referred because, you know, most with clinic, with student nurses, they are allocated to the clinical area that would be in the hospital. And we would hear that the student has been falling in the ward. And you can imagine what that means regarding the issues of safety for the student themselves or the patients.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you were busy with the patient and then you fall. That poses a serious hazard there. So the student would then be excused from the clinical area to say, no, something is wrong here. And the student would be referred to our department. And when I speak to the student, what's happening? I hear you've been absent from work as well. And you're missing some clinical hours. And this is a big concern. And the student would tell you, there's voices that are talking to me and they just come anytime. And they were talking to me just before I gave an injection to a patient. And I don't know what happened. And I fell. And this is not the first time. Ma'am, the other time I found myself in one of the malls. I don't know how I got there. And I'm like, what sense do you make of this? Because you're saying there's a voice. Is it a familiar voice? Ma'am, you know, I've got vivid memories of this, you know, like of a picture of this person that's talking. Because sometimes, you know, I've got an idea who I'm talking to. But I don't know that person, like in person. But somehow it feels like I know this person. You know, as you explore, you realize this has to do with somebody that has passed in the family. And you start asking now, what sense do you make of this? And they say, ma'am, the other time when I was in church, they told me that I need to go to Utwasa, like for initiation. And I'm like, okay, fine. So what's going to happen now? Can you not negotiate with your elders that you can do this later? They give you a chance to complete your training. And I'm talking about a scenario that has happened before. And this particular student, you know, we tried everything. We allowed her a little bit of time to go and attend to those spiritual issues so that she can come back and continue her training. At that time, the training was a bit more flexible. So she went, came back. I think she was doing maybe a second year. Remember, the course was 4 years.
Okay.
Time went around third year towards the end. The same thing started again. And then they come back. And we talk about it. One particular student was released completely because we sent her to a psych hospital. She was admitted and there was a diagnosis for that.
Yeah.
And she was taking medication.
Yeah.
Came back. Yeah, things were not balancing. And then now we actually in the session, I was like, so how about you also attend to that part that you once attended to?
Yeah.
And then she said, okay, I'm going back to my Kobela because it looks like we need to negotiate so that I can complete my training. And she went. And because now we are trying to work with the traditional healers, I remember we got letters from the initiation school.
Yeah.
They've got everything. It's like a school. So there were stamps, everything was legit. And the student was released because things were not balancing. And we had sent the student for medical assistance, and that was not enough. There was more to it. And she was released, and unfortunately, she didn't come back for training. I'm not sure why, but maybe in her negotiations, it was like, be a practitioner who assists people. Because I've also gone to understand that, you know, when you have a gift of being, should I say, a person who heals people, you can do that in a medical setting or in a traditional setting. And I got to know this from my clients who said, you know, they can be healers, like nurses. We are healers because that's what, you know, we do.
Yeah.
But now, from the cultural side, there are many other healers, like what my other colleagues have just said now.
Sure. Thank you for sharing the experiential part of things from a student side as well. And I imagine it must have been challenging for you to try and adapt and understand and make sense of everything that was happening with the student. Sure. Thank you for sharing. Sizwe?
The difference between the two comes... So the mental health is within the mind span. So how I think and how I view things at what creates the problem. So remember that within the calling, there is a spiritual inclination, a voice in within, and traditional wisdom. These three things, if not attended correctly, they can cause mental health. So we are coming back to the fact that the root of the traditional wisdom, the voice in within, and the spiritual inclination can also cause maybe I'd like to call it a mental problem. Your depression, your anxiety, your stresses, and all those different types of mental health. So we need to find the core. So the issue is within the core of our problems. Because ubizo is a journey. So as they say. So the journey, in each and every journey, you need to head a short left, a short right, a freeway, a highway, every sort of things, your hills and your bumps, and all those road signs. And if we will say that I do not look into road signs. I just make my way into the highway. Remember, there are different types of speeds. And my calling and Brother Mzamo's calling is not the same. The speeds are not the same. The inclinations are not the same. So we need to have a corrective mind span to say that I am within the vicinity of healing, and maybe in my healing, the sicknesses I have are different to his. In my life, I was telling Brother Mzamo before we came in that if I was not strong, I would have killed myself. If I was not strong, I would have maybe taken my life. Because the moment I thought about taking my life, I'm sleeping and saying, no, you know what? Tomorrow is the end day. I'm taking my life. And a lady appears in my dreams and say, when you take your life, who's going to take my life? When you kill yourself, remember the soul is left hanging. So when you kill yourself, who's going to take care of that soul? And all the souls that we are saying you must take care of, all the people we are saying that you must heal, who's going to take care of? Remember that the callings are different. You may be called to be the counselor. And we are not aware of that. No, Sister Thabiso is very good in her job. When she speaks with you, you just get the light. When she speaks to you, you just forget about your problems. That is a calling. Just that in a Western way, we say that you are good in your career. But then sometimes careers are spiritual things, are spiritual inclinations. So we need to find the core of what are we doing with our lives and what are we thinking about our lives. So that is what I am saying. The core is the most important thing of learning your mind span. Because remember, you can start a song. You are just singing. And something happens to me. I just have vivid things, vivid connections to the song we are speaking about. And the message within the song speaks to my mind span, and my mind span connects to the voice in within and the traditional wisdom which I need to tend to. So, you know, there are different things we need to understand that. But then the moist within the cake is the core. Between all those things, the moist between the cake is the core, and finding the root of, am I going forward with this thing? Am I going backward with this thing? Because everything is inclined. You may see, Sis Mini, we in our vicinity, we speak with a lot of people. In my case, Brother Mzamo, I'm not like a psychologist. I'm more like a person who speaks to people. When we are within the tents in one of our events, I'm mostly based in the tents where there are conversations. So a person asks, sometimes I'm not myself. I'm someone else. So people say that Sizwe has a girly vibe. But then Sizwe has a female inclination within him, speaking to him, telling him that, no, do that. And the conversation with Flo. So we need to understand and balance. So balance and the core are the most important things.
Very, very well said. I think there's a lot of different perspectives coming out of this, which is why I like this diverse panel. So
very enriching.
Very, very enriching indeed. I heard each of you mentioning this one way or another, that there's a voice. There's a voice that speaks to us. And again, I'll refer to the West and bring it back to our African spirituality, right? The West says that voice is intuition. But when we look at it spiritually, it's something totally different. It's an actual voice, someone that's speaking to you. Mm. It's like a spirit within yourself, right? So, you know, there's, Sizwe also rightly pointed out, there's a voice within that spoke to him when he wanted to take his life, that told him, hey, you have lives to save. So if you go, what about all the people that you're leaving behind, right? Sabiso spoke about somebody, the student that you saw, and they told you about a voice that speaks to them when they're about to inject a client, right? Noputumzamo also mentioned voices within ourselves that speak to us, right? And I want to pose the question, especially to you, Mzamo, about voices that we hear, right? Because you will give us a psychological and you also give us a spiritual perspective. At which point do we differentiate between intuition and delusion, or a spiritual voice that is speaking to you? At which point do we then differentiate the two, or how do we differentiate the two?
I like this question for this sole reason. I didn't come to know immediately to differentiate the voice. On estimate, I think it took me about 8 years to know or to have at least an ability to understand if ngabadala or is my own thoughts. Or I'm just thinking about it, you know, I'm creating this, you know. And the biggest conflict I had was because as a trained psychologist, you are trained to think scientifically, you know. Your thoughts are your own thoughts, you know. These are the recollections of your subconscious, your unconscious mind. A recollection of thoughts, and they manifest. So their voice is seen as part of your mind, right? The internal dialogue is what helps you to solve problems. This is what psychology teaches you. But when they come to intuition, they will also tell you, now intuition is instincts. You know, there are things that you know instinctively because of evolution. You know, your survival instincts. You know, when there's fire, you don't run towards the fire. You move away. That is your animal instinct that gets you out of danger. And they'll equate this to intuition, that intuitively you'll know, if I can't swim, I will drown if I jump into the water, you know, because of experience from other people, you know. And they equate this to innate wisdom that you are born with. That's what Western psychology tells you.
Yeah,
it's even worse now if you get trained to become a psychologist, because that indoctrination intensifies in terms of telling you how to interpret the voice, you know, and they dissect it into different categories: delusions, paranoid ideation, intrusive thoughts, you know. And for a person that is having voices, in certain aspects, they get diagnosed. These are paranoid ideations. No, you are being delusional. No, these are hallucinations. So therefore, you are exhibiting symptoms of psychosis. You know, Western psychology has readily answers, available answers to tell you what this voice is. So I battled with different, although I knew, you know, there's something else. But because I didn't want to be that guy that brings this up, especially in my psychologist space, I think because of stigma. So I kind of like suppressed this exploration until I didn't have any other choice but to actually express that voice. So how do I know? Hey, maybe my Geba will rescue me in this question. How do I know if this is not a delusion versus ugogo or ikhehla, lizixoxela, you know, instructing or speaking or conversating? Makeba rightly said, when you are born, you're not born alone when you come to this world. You are carrying your family tree. You are representative. That DNA embodies a lot of people that are with you. People that carries you in your journey as a human being. And if you are anointed one to undergo through your healing, your training starts before you are born.
Mm.
Because there are people that have been healers before. So they carry this DNA information in your soul. So you are born when better. It's just that you don't know.
Mm.
Until you reach a point whereby you have a spiritual awakening, whereby you just know things without knowing where you get them. And the Western science will call that intuition.
Mm-hmm.
To us, it's those that came before us. They are telling you, they are teaching you, they are with you, they are revealing things with you. And once you understand how they speak, which is the language of the spirit, which I talked about in my introduction, you know, in the psychology, once you understand the language of the spirit, you will have no doubt how to distinguish between idlozi, isithunywa, or umsholoko, as they call it in isiXhosa. Ukuthi, these are the people that are with me. I'm these people are me, and they are speaking. You will know. It's difficult to tell the public how to distinguish this if you are not in that space, in that vicinity.
Yes.
It can be explained, but I won't be able to do justice and say, this is how you know. You know, sometimes you have to trust your instincts. But I always explain it like this to my clients. When you are in danger or someone is walking behind you, there'll be something that tells you, look back, there's someone that is coming, right? It's not your intuition, you know? It's your people. It's the people that you carry because they see, you know, your perimeter. They will tell you, don't turn to that street today, you know? And if you defy that voice, you go to that street and then you lose your phone or your wallet or you get hurt. So sometimes this is how you harness that voice and understanding how it speaks, is to listen how it gets you out of danger, how it reveals things. Sometimes it speaks through dreams, sometimes it speaks through visions. You know, and that's how you distinguish between the two. You know, it's the first voice that comes to your mind when you are dealing with the situation. The second voice is the voice of reason. It's your own mind trying to interpret. The first voice that comes in when you are dealing with a person. Let's say someone comes to you and you feel uneasy. Your energy is not gelling with this person.
Yeah.
It's the voice. You know, it doesn't use words only. It uses your physiological reactions. It uses energy. It uses visions. It uses a whole lot of things to speak. So when we say a voice, we are a bit reducing it to words. It's not words. It's a state or of the spirit. And this is how sometimes you know. Hey, lo mundo a hoglin. You know? Hey, yas lil charity lili lingolil. How do you know? Because no one told you. It's because your body is like an antenna. You enter that space, you get a download of information, you know, and you don't interfere with that information. That here, there's something lay, or someone died here, you know. Sometimes you just know. It's not intuition.
Yeah.
You know, it's who you are. It's your people. They communicate all the time. That's what I mean by the voice.
So it's a state of being. It's not necessarily a voice the way we perceive it in Western terms, because it's as if someone is speaking to you, but as a matter of fact, you feel it, you experience it, you don't just hear it.
It relies on many other senses.
Yeah.
So when I say it's a voice, I'm a bit reductionist in that explanation. I'm reducing it to words or thoughts. It goes far beyond, it transcends. Because I could be seeing a vision now, let's say behind you, kuku gogo. It's pig. You know? It's the voice. It's the language. Maybe the language is the right word. It's the language of the spirit.
Right.
How they speak to you. They're going to use technology even. How to communicate. Your surroundings. All your senses that you have. And that's how I think people should be able to distinguish between a delusion. Because a delusion is very reductionist way of seeing it.
Yeah.
At the level of a thought and language. But their voice, we shouldn't see it as a voice. We see it as a communication of Abadala, and it transcends words.
Right.
It goes far beyond pictures, feelings, energy, experiences, deja vus, dreams, and there are other things that I haven't yet experienced.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We had a very interesting conversation about deja vu, and if we have time, we'll touch on it in the end. Unfortunately, we do only have 15 minutes left of this conversation. Really? Oh, my word. Yeah. I know. I wish we had more time. I think we need more installments. But what I do want to touch on before I let you all close off, I want to first bring this to Uthabiso, and then I will take it back to Usizwe and Umzamo, because I want to talk about the journey to becoming, as you said, umhlekazi, or on your journey, Sizwe, isangoma, and how you were speaking, Thabiso, about a student who had to undergo a journey of their own. And you said that they went through, you know, initiation school, we'll call it in isiLungu, but I know there is a much more better explanation that you will give to us. But this student had to undergo this process in order for them to become or walk in the path that they're supposed to walk, right? How was this perceived in your environment? You are in an education institution. The student comes through with a letter from their traditional healer or their kobela. And how is this perceived in that environment?
No, that was not easy. You know, as Uputumzamo was talking, I was like, you are a psychologist. I wonder how you could balance the two, because it's very difficult, because our training is looking at the scientific aspect of everything.
Yes.
So if the student comes and now she's telling you things that you don't know, I think in our environment, luckily, I had colleagues that really supported me and guided me on the student environment, on how to be open-minded, you know, when people come, even with religion, you know, because this also comes through religion that you don't understand. And the student would say, this is what I believe in.
Yeah.
And you should not ignore that. So with this one specifically, I think for me, it was also a journey whereby I had to learn about what's going on outside. Like I said at the beginning, in the mental health, we're looking at the balance of many aspects before we say the mental health is disturbed here. So, I mean, I was looking at the grooming. No, she's fairly groomed. I'm looking at other things, you know, reality things, like how is school, what test were you writing the previous day? No, everything is intact. But now here's the story, like, she's got this experience that I've never heard of, that I don't understand.
Yeah.
And fortunately, then at that time already, I was in my own journey of being open-minded and just accepting people for who they are, you know, and taking the process of counseling as a process of individuals rather than saying this is the approach we use. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I can imagine, especially if you haven't experienced it yourself or you don't know anybody personally that's close to you. And I imagine also the environment, you know, education, they're focused on a particular lens and it's not Africanist in nature at all. So I can imagine. Sizwe, can you tell us about your journey or training that you are currently undergoing to becoming isangoma? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's a journey. We must start there. It's a journey. So I'd like to go back just for you to note how these things evolve.
Yeah.
By listening to my mother, my mother says that when I was born in Bara, had breathing complications and all those things. So the moment I start getting to 3 years of age, when she goes to a friend and the person says, I have a headache, then Sizwe just starts praying and saying that you'll be all right. Goes and goes and goes and goes. Grade eight. Dreams start showing. Dreams start telling themselves that this is what you are. This is what you are. And you start telling your parents, and the parent says, there's no thing, there's no such. We don't know that thing. And this family, there's no such thing. And it's not like you are crazy. The moment of mental health, somewhere, somehow, start from there.
Mm.
So the family may push you to a mental health style.
Mm.
So I'm thinking to myself, when these people say that this is not who I am,
mm,
and this is not what I must be, and at night the person comes and say, even if they say you are not a healer, you are a healer,
mm,
and it ends there.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to find the connection in between the person who tells you something and the people who think they are telling you something.
Mm. Mm.
Because we can listen to people and we can listen to doctors and the doctors say that, no, it's depression.
Mm.
But then the person who tells you that, Norman, just move from there and stay in that city. What is this that is happening in the sense?
Mm.
So my strong base was understanding the person within me, understanding who I am and who I want to be,
mm,
and embracing the challenges that I am faced with. Coming to staying to rest, I had to change now. I'm meeting new people, meeting different people,
mm,
and just like that, the person comes and say, where are we?
Hmm?
What is this place? There are many spirits here.
Mm.
Dirty spirits that we do not want to associate ourselves with.
Mm.
Go home.
Mm-hmm.
I tell my parents say, no, there's no such thing. Yet I'm saying, but then people witnessed when I had this inclination,
mm,
this person came and spoke to these people.
Mm.
And the parents say, no, we do not know of this such. And I have to fight.
Mm.
I had to fight until they said, okay, we did know,
mm,
just at the time.
Sure.
We did know the time.
Yeah.
So if you, when Assis Mini,
mm,
you do not know the correct time,
mm,
to upload yourself, you'll die in the hands of people telling that, no, you do not know, you do not need to upload yourself.
Mm.
Mm. You do not need change. Mm. But then you are seeing that I do need change. Osis Tabiso is speaking about a time frame of 2020 to 2021,
mm-hmm,
and a sewing machine.
Mm.
Do we know what is the cause of that?
Mm.
The voice in within. Maybe she's busy telling Osis Mini, Osis Mini, I had this thing, man, that says, at this time, I need to have a sewing machine. And Osis Mini says, hi, man. It's just a thing. Just let it go. Kanti,
mm,
there's something in between that. There's something. Maybe they are saying that, no, the job in within, the vicinity in within, there are problems coming. And we need you to start this journey so you can make money.
Mm.
So when you come across problems, you know that I've got security. I'm secured.
Mm.
I have no problems. Mm. Even if they arise, I have no problems. I'll just take the 20 rand here, go buy bread. I'll just take the 40 rand here, go buy a t-shirt. You see?
Mm.
So we need to understand the voice. So the moment that I'm saying that I have a calling,
mm,
engage. Not to say that go and find Abu Brother Mzamo who are wearing beads, mm, or who go and carry amabai.
Mm.
No, engage with yourself.
Mm.
Engage firstly with yourself, because we are telling people that you dreamt of a snake.
Mm.
Okay. Go back and tell it to come back. So it needs to come back maybe twice or thrice,
mm-hmm,
in you saying that, no, man, I'm here. I'm here. And this is my space.
Mm.
Then we can conclude and say that, no, this is what we think it is. This is what we need to say. This is what we need to do. Because when Assis Mini, in our Zulu nature,
mm,
nabantu thina ngesintu uthi umuntu mayebuza ukuthi ubani athi mina nguZulu kaMageba usithulisi kamntwana unkonyana yenkosi uZulu kaMalandela. All those people I have called, these are people who have created my lineage. These are people, when I stand and say I am Sizwe Zulu, the dust settles. When I say that na sawona kamathe, and all the ladies from the Kamathe side say that you have greeted us so nice. We are born. So we need to understand the types of languages we speak so we can understand the voice. So we are having a problem that people say that, hey, that's not it. These are the pills. It's not it. This is the medication. Just drink this. You'll be fine. Kanti, it's not that. There's the cause. So the voice and everything needs to be attended as purely, as simply as it is. If a person says, take this and do that, do as they say. Thank you.
Ubizo is a journey. Wow. Yo. Thank you. That was very insightful. And to think, as Umzamo said earlier, it goes back to how you were born. You just you took us through the whole journey that helps us understand where you are now. Umzamo, what are your thoughts? Can you tell us about your journey as well?
Just briefly, I'll make this very brief because of time constraints.
Yes, unfortunately.
This is what I came to understand, that the journey begins before you were born. And in a silly way, I always refer to Abadala, hopefully they won't scold me for this, the council. You know, bayahlangana laba bantu and decide ukuthi lo that is going to be born on this date is going to carry the mandate. And it's not the mandate of one person. It could be a mandate of 40 people who are in limbo, who never got a chance to seek expression and be healers. Got lost in rivers, died in wars, and these people had a purpose and a calling. So Isimo Sabo is in limbo. But they trust you, Kuti. Umzam is the one that will be open-minded enough in that family that is going to carry us. We're going to give him his kwam. Then you are born. I was also born under extraordinary circumstances. I was born as a premature at 6 months. Mother never said what were the reasons, but I guess I wanted to come out. So at the age of 8 or 10, that's when I knew there was another world out there. Just like Umageba, I got dismissed. I saw things that didn't make sense, and I would ask my mother, "Hi, Mama, man, dibone ikhoho, fuku fuku, noboyo bo brown, amehlo abomvu alayitayo, namazinyo ngathi ngawe shaka, ibhekile. Hey, you just grim. Jay, you know, this is nothing to pay attention to. It's nothing. It's just a nightmare. And I kept on seeing things when I was young, and I will have premonitions. I'll dream of things and then they will happen. Then I will tell my mother, "I'm, but I saw this in a dream that it will be an accident." And I will be dismissed. And then also I just resigned from, you know, talking about my dreams. And this carried on until high school, whereby I would lose things, textbooks. But I will know who took it. You know, I'll have a vision of a person going to my bag, taking my book. Then I will know, someone like this, wearing this, took my book. And I'll go and confront that person. Obviously, the person will deny it. This continued through now university. At home, in my mother's generation, there's no healer. But I suspected that my mother was one because she had a strong intuition. She will know things and tell you, even where you are, she will tell you, get out of there. Don't be friends with this person. Don't go to that house, you know? And I never knew how she knew these things, and yet she was not there. So then the curiosity started when I was at varsity. I started being drawn into izinto zobungoma. I never liked church. I never liked praying. And my mother used to say, you need to pray because this is where you are strong. I never understood that until recently. So this thing started when I was young, and I didn't know, because you will ask questions and you'll be dismissed, you know? And I'll be sick, you know? I used to be drawn to isigubu sabangoma, you know? Every time there's a zangoma or amagqirha, I would want to go there and you'll get them, you know? And from my father's side, there were zangomas, amagqirha, and Cape Sense sort of thing. And I always wanted to go and sing, but I was never given an opportunity, you know? I never knew why. At church, I used to feel different when they hit a scoop. I went to a Roman Catholic church, very Western. But when there were marimbas and the scoop in special occasions, I would feel different. And I never knew what it was. So then my calling then intensified after I graduated. It's always been there. It was never acknowledged. I also never paid attention to it. Up until I started becoming sick at work. You know, the legs would lock. I'd have partial paralysis. The grims were there, by the way, being told, you know, being given jackets or izambato, amajazi, abatandazeli, would see amabai. But because of my training, I never really entertained this stuff or took it to the face value, like, oh, therefore I have a calling, I must go and rush to a pithwin. I was stubborn because I didn't want to be exploited. I resisted for many years. Up until I was told ukuthi by a stranger, ukuthi unenkani wena, and your people are going to take your job if you don't listen. I thought this was a joke. Then I was told ukuthi you're going to be sick. I thought it was a joke. And then I got sick, seriously sick during COVID. And that was the first time, whereby umoya was kulumela. I knew this was not my voice, you know, in that state. Someone wapakama and wakuluma and scolded me. I was half conscious, which this is not my voice, but it's me talking. Kuti, awumameli, you're not listening. And if you don't do the way we tell you, we're going to take everything that you have. You think these cars that you are driving, this money, this job is your own strength. It's not. We can take this in a minute. And then I didn't listen. I'm like, ah, so there is no such. Then I got involved in a couple of accidents. That's when I started taking this seriously. Like, you know what? Maybe. Then I started communicating to my family. Like, look, I don't want to lose my job. I have a daughter. And if I have to do this, then I'm going to do it. You know? The grims were there, confirmed everything. It's just that I was too stubborn because I have seen a lot of people being exploited. You know? Losing money. People being lied to. So it took many years for me to actually get into it. Also, my psychological training didn't assist me because I'm very skeptical, analytical, critical. I question things. Kuti why? As Umakeba is saying, if a grim comes, I don't just jump and kibalegele iskodlule somuntu kuti oh, hayi nginobizo. I'll wait until that grim comes back again. So for me to know, if a person says, oh, ngibona ugogo wakho egqoka isiphiko esiyelo, well, I don't take that into a serious light. She must come to me. Why Chela Wen? You know? Why she's not coming to me and tell me herself? You know? I don't want to be hearing from other people. Why? What's special with those people? You know? Why she can't come to me and tell me? And she did. You know? She did. That's why I got scolded. So my journey has been very tough. Rewarding, and I resisted for many years up until I agreed. And now I'm in the process. It's a long process. I'm not in a rush for it. And I have learned things before I went to a pithwin. Uhlanganisa umuthi izwasho. I was taught these things before any kobela could say. I'll be drawn to information, or I'll ask a question, kuti, why Sangoma has the monopoly of knowing how to deal with this? Why can't I have? And I'll ask a question, and I'll be told, would it mix this and that and that? And the person, if they come, I will tell them, you know? So I'm still in the process of learning, and I believe IPEHLO is a formalization of the process. But you become a sangoma before you are born, and you get trained by your people throughout your life experiences.
Yeah.
You know, and once you realize that, you'll understand who you are, you know, and your people will tell you. When another person tells you go to Nobizo, you don't get surprised if you really know and you really have a calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you won't be wondering what they are talking about. You will know.
It's already within you.
So yeah. It's already there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my closing.
Woo! Wow, what an hour. Oh, wow. Thank you so much to all of you for joining us. Sure, I feel like I still have a whole lot of questions. I have a lot I still want to ask, but unfortunately, because of time, we have to end off this session here. So I really do hope that we get to do this again, because I imagine after listening to this podcast, our listeners, students, whoever else will be listening will have questions. And so hopefully we can do a second installment. Thank you so much to all of you. Ngiyabonga kakhulu, Mzamo, Sizwe, Thabiso.
Thank you.
Thank you.